Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Brother Joshua Herrera. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
Today's preaching is from natural to supernatural. I had a different perspective on this preaching. I was dealing with the fact, God, do I talk about you as a superhero? If you think about it, you see natural to supernatural, from zero to hero. And we have a God that he was never zero. He's always been a hero. So I couldn't compare numbers with God. God-given name is just God himself. So be prepared today, and everyone listening on online, and this word, let it be of encouragement today to get you at that place where you need to be at again. We get out sometimes. So let's all pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we come here today to give you thanks, to praise your name, Father. I know we all go through struggles, strongholds, and we feel like we can't get out of a situation because the situation seems so hard to get out of, just like Brother G said, and that we need to reach out to you, Father. We need to believe and have faith. But it's so much takes in just believing. You have to have faith. You have to put in your part also. For God to do the wonderful, to do the miraculous, you need to have faith and let go. So, God, let this word resound in this room today, Father. Let our hearers hear, too, that they also need a breakthrough in their lives. They also need to let go of the things that they're still holding from this world. Just as us, too, we need help, Father. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray and we say, amen. Well, I am glad to be here today with you, brothers and sisters. I'm always privileged to be up here. This is my first Sunday preaching with you. I usually got Pastor Fee has given me the opportunity to preach during the Wednesdays or a Bible study, but this is the prime time right now, and like they say, the prime time. So I'm going to be short and sweet today. I know usually Pastor gives us with a 45-minute, but I want to give time today as a reconcile with Jesus today and use this altar today for worship as well. We worship this morning, but there's worship and prayer, and we can continue worshiping, also singing too. So I want to continue on, and first, I want to give a definition first right now. The natural man is this. It's formulated by human reason alone rather than revelation, occurring in conformity with the ordinary course of nature, not marvelous or supernatural, operating in the physical world as opposed to the spiritual world. The supernatural is described this way, unable to be explained by laws of nature of or relating to an order or existence beyond visible, observable universe, and especially of or relating to God. We are in the natural, in the flesh, but also we also have the power in the spiritual as well too. Jesus is a perfect example. God had to send his only son, coming here in a flesh and blood as well, but also with the divinity of the spirituality, that he had the Holy Spirit with him. And thank God that we have the opportunity to have the Spirit in us too. That's if we have it. That's if we have it. And today's preaching and today's word is, I want to challenge you today, if you are saved. I'm going to be careful with that. I'm going to be careful with that. I'm going to touch some hairs today. Now, I don't want to bring down to your salvation. No, it's not about that today. I want to bring you into a place when you accepted Jesus Christ into that place where you knew, I am saved. What happens before, after that, is up to you. But my purpose today with this preaching is to bring you back again to your first love. There's something that's happening right now in this world amongst Christians. I'm going to focus today with, this can go both ways. This can be for you today, or it can be for someone listening online, or for someone, you can take this word to someone outside. But I want to focus with the church right now, where we're at. How, as Christians, can we give if our life is not in line with Christ? If we're going to come to that place, us as Christians, if we're going to be the light, I used to hear, you need to be a light, brother. No, we are the light. If you are in Christ, you are the light already. So we need to shine. Let's move on. Today, we're going to go old school today. We're going to read Word. We're going to read Word. I have the Word posted up here. I wanted to give maybe 3 points today, but the guy was saying, no, you're not going to give points today. I want you to go through my Word today and read it through. So get your Bible out. Get your pens out. Get your iPad out or your iPhone. If you have to use your iPhone, go ahead. We're in technological universe now. So, I want to open up with this. The resurrection of Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, and it says this in 1 Corinthians. Sorry about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 15. We're going to read from the top. There's an error right there. Don't look at verse 15. Start from the top of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 on the top. It says this. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If, I want to say this, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. This is what got to me here. I'm like, God, I'm standing here and I'm sitting here. God, what are you trying to say with this word? If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, if you hold firmly to it. So I always tell my wife this, and there's always been a confusion that my salvation can be lost. Salvation is a gift of God. God does not take back what he has given you. Let's get that clear right now. Secondly, by this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly. The second thing I told my wife was this last time, is that how can somebody be saved in the beginning and they go through life doubting God? How can they be? There was never a true salvation. The way to be saved is a two-step process. This is the way it goes. If you make Jesus your Lord and Savior. That's the way it comes about. Pastor Fee is always saying, it's not the what? The prayer that saves you. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's your faith. It's your faith. So whatever this man was going through, and what Brother G was saying, that anecdote, do you have faith? What are you holding on to right now in your life that has not made you go through the things that you probably thought you couldn't do? So I stand firm with this. And it says this, continues on. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas. And then to the 12 disciples. I want to continue on with this here. I want to stop here again. I kept saying it when we were singing. If there was something going right now, there's probably a stronghold in your life right now that probably you have not let go. We cannot have ties into this world. There can be no ties to this world. A pastor once told me, Josh, and it was very interesting to hear this. When you're in sin, you cannot think straight, you cannot move forward, and God cannot work with you. What do you mean, Pastor? If I am saved, why would he work with me? I am a child, right? No, yes. Yeah. You are a child. But also, you need to go through the hand, too. You need to go through that line. But also, in Spanish, we used to call it pamba. Pamba is that you have to go through a line. You got to get hit in the butt as you're walking through and you're running through it. But you have to go through the fire. You have to go through situations because God's going to use those situations to move you and to get you back and shake you up. We need to. We need that once in a while. We need that because we all get away from the path. But thank God that because of the grace that we can hold on. And I'm going to use that branch as grace. How are you holding on to grace? Is what determines your spiritual life. You guys can write that one. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, just give me that one for you guys right now. Let's move on forward. We're reading today. After that, he appeared. Okay, somebody out here, it's to them 500, right? We are to five, appear them to more than 500. Of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. That's my next one right there. Most of our brothers and sisters at the same time, and now time for us, whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. We have fallen asleep, church. The church has not been responsive to what's been happening in this world right now. We see things happening. We see turmoil in different parts of the world. This kind of puts me to the next question. Are we praying enough? Are we fasting for people that really need it? Because we get so consumed with our own problems. I'll be the first one to say it right now. Let's be transparent. I fall into that sometimes. I fall into my own deals, my ordeals that I'm going through. And I start focusing less on what the world really needs. Then he appeared to James, verse 7 here. Then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. We're talking about Paul here. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Here comes the supernatural. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. Let me read that one more time. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. You are what you are because God's giving you the grace. And his grace to me was not without effect. So just because you're going through a situation doesn't mean the grace of God is not in effect. It is in effect because you're still living and you're still walking to this point right now. And you get to shout out and say, God, I am here. Let's move on. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. Do you believe in the word you're preaching today? That's my next question. Do you believe in what you are preaching? If the world's going to be rescued, it's going to have to be through us, because we have been revealed the secrets of God, which is salvation. We get to have the most valuable gift. It doesn't belong just to us only. It belongs to everybody else. Let's move on. The resurrection of the dead. Let's move on, 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. So let me go back at this, brothers. Right here we have, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? We are living beings that walk in spirituality. Can a dead man walk? I'm going to say that again. Could a dead man walk? Obviously, no. But if we were to look at it in a spiritual sense, you hear me out right here? If we look at it at a spiritual sense, yes, a dead man walking, it can. It can happen. Why? Because man and spirit, you're dead inside. You need to come alive through the Holy Spirit, and that's the only way it's going to come through. There can be dead men walking. We're probably stinking and stench right now. It kind of gets me mad when I see brothers in church saying a lot of hoo-ha, and once they get out of church, it's a whole different man. It's a whole different man. And that can be you. That can be me. We go out thinking we praise God because we know everything. But inside, you're so dead like just a person in the world. So let me go back into this verse right here. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. Exactly. And so is your faith. How can your preaching be effective if you don't believe in what you're saying to someone outside who needs it? If you're walking dead. Paul made emphasis on this, on the old man. I love to talk about this everywhere I go. If my preachings are always going to be about death and the new resurrection in Christ, let it be so. Because as Christians, we need to understand that if we're going to be used by God, faith has to be so strong in Him. I have learned in this path that if I don't believe, and also, if I don't have faith, my word is not going to be effective. More yet and so forth, the word of God is not going to be effective. So I say this again on verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Christ has probably not been raised in your life yet. You probably said a prayer that you came to the altar because you were afraid to go to hell. I want to use a small anecdote. I'm not going to give names or churches where I've been to before. But we normally used to go out in church to go at a certain place at City Heights. And I used to laugh sometimes because this was coming from a pastora that we would go to the streets. The first thing she would tell me, mijo, son, I want you to start praying hell to them, okay? Stop praying hell to them. And I'm like, sister, shouldn't I go afterwards, you know? How about I talk about the love of God first, and then I talk about hell? But no, let's talk about hell, because if they don't, something bad is going to happen to them. They're going to go to hell. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to scare someone to go to hell. Because if I'm scaring them to go to hell, I'm scaring them to get saved right away. And that's how you have a lot of people coming into the pulpit. I want to be saved, but they never make them their Lord. And I've seen a lot of Christians in church that are weak because they never really surrender fully to God. They surrender to a prayer. They didn't surrender to the Jesus Christ. They know about Jesus and His wonders, but they haven't really surrendered their life totally to Him. So there's a big difference. There is a big difference. Let's move on forward. 18. And those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. 19. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all of people most to be pitied. Most to be pitied. 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Thank God. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam, all die. That's in the flesh, the first natural man. So we all know this, that Adam should have been the first one, first Christ. But what happened? Sin came through man. So that was wiped away. That's why Jesus had to come again in the form of a body. So in Christ, all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when He comes to those who belong to Him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God, the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemy under his feet. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, right? Let me continue on right here. Are you guys following me through right here? All right, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. All right, let's continue on. For he has put everything under, can you help me out here? On everything under his feet, right? Am I correct there? Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself. He put everything under Christ. When he has done this, the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him so that God may be all in all. 29 says this, now if there is no resurrection, what will those who are baptized for the dead if the dead are not raised at all? Why are all people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I face death every day, yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. There's a lot of people in Gasland. Let's drink. Like there's no tomorrow. Like there's no tomorrow. And our past life, probably, that's the way we lived before. And maybe still some. So I want to say this again. Paul went through the same struggles you guys went through. There ain't no difference from this man right here. This was a sought-out spiritual man. A sought-out spiritual man. And he also fought the beast in Ephesus with no more than human hopes. What has he gained? 33 says this, do not be misled. And I say this to everybody in this place. Bad company corrupts good character. So whoever you're hanging out with, like to say in the world, tell me who you hang out with and I'll let you know who you really are, you know? Let me know. And exactly this, I'm going to use that in that context. Bad company corrupts good character. And Paul says this, come back to your senses as you ought to and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. This is to my shame too. One of the goals I have this year is that the friends that I hang out with, they have to be giving life to you. They have to give spiritual guidance to your life. Those are the friends that you should be seeking. Paul is saying this, bad company corrupts good character. How is your life going to grow if you continue hanging out with the same group, with the same fellas, with the same homies? Good's going to come through that if you continue in that same cycle. That happens when you hang out in the thug life. Come on. If you're going to be true to yourself, if you're going to continue moving forward in Christ, you need to move away from corrupt company. That's how you're going to grow. That's how you're going to separate yourself from the world, and Christ is going to reign more in your life. I promise you this, that Christ will reign more in your life. Let's move forward. The resurrection body. Let's talk about the body now. 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? You're going to have people asking you this. This is 101 resurrection. How are they going to be raised? Someone's going to come up to you. Well, this is the way it said. With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. This is all in disregard right here. So let me read this again. 36, how foolish, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. So whatever situation, stronghold you're going through, if that's not dead, you're not going to come to life. In order for you to move from the natural to the supernatural, you need to let go of the things that are holding you. It's so simple. I'm not going to say the word logic, because there's no logic in word. If God tells you this, this is what it is. There's no going back, there's no left, it's just a straight line. And only the brave will hold themselves in that straight line right there. How many brave souls do we have in this place today? I want you to get to that place, to feel brave enough to walk up to somebody and let them know that, how are the dead raised? Well, I'm going to tell you how the dead are raised. You see how I was back then? I was dead. Look at me now. That's the way. Your testimony is going to speak more than words itself. That's how it's going to work. Let's continue on. 38, but God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of a seed, he gives its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh. Animals have another. Birds another, and a fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. 41, the sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and the stars differ from star into the splendor. I want to say this right here. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. We have the natural body, which is what you're in right now, and we have the supernatural bodies, which are in heaven. But thank God that we are also supernatural, because the Holy Spirit is in us. You have life now. Let's use that life. Let's use it. Amen. Amen. She felt that. So 42 says this, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. I'm going to go back at this right now. I was a little confused in the beginning when I came. I have to read this over and over to truly understand this. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, there also has to be a supernatural body. Let me go back at this here. I was like, God, what does this mean? Well, when you came into this world, you were, what? Let's go. Help me out here. You were perishable. But it is raised imperishable when you're in Christ. It is sown in dishonor because of Adam. It is raised in what? In glory now. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in what? In power. It is sown in natural body, but thank God for the Holy Spirit, it's now raised in a what? Spiritual body, man. Come on. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. That's simple. That's simple. No gimmicks, just word. 45, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Going back, Adam first, human nature. Second, Jesus Christ became the second Adam right here. That's what it's saying, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural came. The human body came in this world. And after that, the spiritual. It would have been. God intended it to be in the beginning, be spiritual. And I always come to this battle here with the ladies, and I'm like, it was your fault. It was your fault that we sinned. But it doesn't work that way. It was through man. Adam was in fault for what he did. And I hate that. But you know what? Regardless of who did it or who did not, we can all fall under sin. We all have a weakness point. I know what my weakness points are already. I know what I have to work on in Christ. You got to know the enemy so well. I'm not saying you're going to have to go in a satanic Bible and get to know. No, you need to know where you came from first, what you're weak in, and what you need help in. In order, again, let's go back again. It is sown in weakness. You know your weakness already. And is raised in power. when you surrender what you're going through. This is how you get to know the enemy really well. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. 47 verse says this: the first man was out of dust of the earth, the second man is of heaven, Jesus Christ. 48, as was the earthly man, so are those who are of earth, and as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the what? Of the heavenly man. That's what it says. We got the earthly man right now. So shall we also one day in the spiritual body that God's going to give us, we will have a heavenly body. I want to make it to that day. I want to make sure that everybody makes it to that day. So like I said in the beginning, I want to shake your faith today. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. It cannot inherit it. You got to let the folks out there know, if you want to go to heaven, flesh and blood in itself is not enough. It's only through the spiritual cannot inherit, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpets will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. I underline this now, making more emphasis again. For the perishable, meaning us, the world, must clothe itself with the imperishable. Put your suit on. Let's put it on. Not just on Sundays. And the mortal with the immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up into victory. 55. Where, O death, is your victory now? Where, O death, is your sting? I want you to put this in your mind. When I keep reading this over, God, so you're saying is that death now is dead and you have the victory. Oh, where death are you are, where's your sting at? For every person, this sounds like a commercial right now. For every one person who gets saved, they have victory. They have no more sting on their life. For every person, there is a victory through Jesus Christ. You got to see it this way. You got to see it this way. I know probably I'll make it sound like if I'm marketing right now this, but I want to put it this way for you. Think about when you go shopping. You get a discount on something, and you feel so good inside because you get to take that home and you saved a lot of money. Or better yet, Geico, I saved a lot of money. Well, exactly the same thing. You save that person a whole lot more. When this person got to know what true victory is, when he got to know that he don't have to be stung anymore by death anymore, because he got to know what real love is and what a real God is. So 56, the sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. I want everyone to say, stand firm. Come on. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that you labor in the Lord is not in vain. Everything for God that you do will never be in vain. You have to believe that. It says, stand firm. Where are you right now? What kind of ground are you standing in? Did you plant seeds on the dirt that cannot grow anything? Did you put seeds on cement? Life cannot grow out of places where you stand on until you finally learn what it is to stand firm in Christ. There can be no life where you stand at all. There can be no roots wherever you're standing if you're not holding firm to Jesus Christ. You're going to be blown away. Just like the wind that comes through. Acts 4:12 says this. Salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Salvation is going to be found through you, brothers. That's how people are going to get to know. There's no other name given. If people are going to get to know the true salvation, if they're going to want to go from a natural to the supernatural, you need to start doing the supernatural in your personal life. That's the only way it's going to work. How are you going to get to the supernatural? I'm not going to give you a 12-step process to get to the supernatural. Or these are the three best things you can do to get there. The best way to put it, you need to start learning how to be obedient. Because if you're obedient, the rest will fall into place. There's no need to give me a 3-step process where you have to read your word, you got to pray more, you got to fast more. Those all come along. That's part of the Christian walk. You do that. But the thing that comes in the way between you and God is obedience. Are you obeying the word of God? Are you obeying what the Spirit is telling you to do? Or are you believing what the flesh is telling you to do because you're going through a hard, difficult situation? Your life depends a lot in how you guide yourself from the Spirit. That's how your life depends. That's your oxygen. If you're holding tight to that, I promise you, you're not going to fail. But if you hold on to your spiritual thinking, I mean, if you hold on to your natural thinking, then, of course, you're going to seek death. That's what you're going to be at. I finish with this. I want everybody in this place, just to close your eyes for a moment, please. Just close your eyes. This is a time where people need to hear more of the Word of God. I think we see it on news. We see it with people, our families. And we need to be waking up. We need to be stirred. God needs to have the first place in our hearts. If you want your family to change, if you want your family to get to know who Jesus Christ is, you need to be that supernatural being in their lives. There's no room for error. Yes, you might have moments, but there's no room right now. Christ needs to be the center of your life right now. Even more so, it needs to get to the point where it's not about you anymore. It's all about Him. His word says it everywhere. It's about me. If you surrender your life to Him, rest assured, your life is going to be better. Tribulations will come, but your life, I promise you, there's going to be effective. People are going to change. People want to come to you because you're walking in the light. I want this morning and everybody else hearing us live to start examining where you're at right now. What are you doing wrong? Are you watching pornography? Are you being unfaithful? That can be with your eyes too, or in your heart. Are you following the lies of other people? Are you doing lies? We all have in one way some of these things that we've gone through. I want to use this moment right now on the altar. I want to use this moment to give everything to Christ right now, this very moment, in this pulpit. I want to ask everybody today, if you can. This is not to force you. And I want you to do something being forced to do it because, again, we go back again to the same thing. People come to God just because they want salvation. No, I need you to come up here because you recognize that Lord and Savior is part of your life. I'm going to ask the worship group to come up right now. I want everybody to stand, please. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. I want you to take a step of faith today. Take a step of faith. If there's something in your heart right now that you need to give to God, His word says this, that before you come to an altar, you have to give whatever sin you're going through to Him. Let's use this place right now to forgive those, forgive yourself for what you've done, and let that be the prayer today. If you're going to be affected in the kingdom of heaven, you need to surrender your life. Those who have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, praise God. Those who are having struggles right now with their spiritual life, I ask for everybody, and I want it to make it in a corporal way. And I welcome you at this altar right now. We're going to be singing, and I want everybody in this place to start singing to God. Start praying to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So feel free, feel led to come up to this altar right now. And
if you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show Himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank You. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that You died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, You rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve You, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of His word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.